It's on. But does that really fit? I mean, if baptism is what we've been taught it was, a confession of our past sins, an expression of our sorrow, our guilt, a symbolic washing away of those sins, if it's all of that, then why did Jesus do it? Because that same tradition that gives us this teaching also tells us that, well, Jesus should have been exempt. None of this applies to him. He was the one, we were taught, who was without sin. So why be baptized? He had no sins to wash away. Why was Jesus baptized? And why is this important? Well, I can think of a couple of reasons why this is very important to us. First of all, not only did Jesus enter into the ritual of baptism for apparently different reasons than the rest of us, if he's without sin, but also it had a radically different effect, didn't it? In the Gospels, you get the idea that great crowds came to John the Baptist to be baptized in the Jordan, that people were literally lined up so that he could baptize them, both before and after the day of Jesus' baptism. And who could count the number of Christians that have been baptized between then and now? It's millions. And yet, the result of Jesus' baptism has never been duplicated, has it? Obviously, the experience was different for him than the rest of us. He not only entered into it for different reasons, but he experienced it in a different way because no one that we know of was transformed quite the way Jesus was. And Jesus was transformed, which I think is the second important point. Jesus was changed. In his baptism, he didn't just go through the motions to, do what was religiously acceptable or correct, not for the sake of that. Some have implied that, but Jesus emerged from his baptism a changed person. Apparently as different as night and day from the person he had been before. For while we have come to think of Jesus as one born, as one come to earth with, powers and abilities far beyond those of mere mortals, a kind of spiritual Superman, no one that knew Jesus all of his life up to his baptism seemed to notice that. We have all these remarkable things surrounding his birth we're told about, but there are really very few witnesses. The wise men, they come, they go back east somewhere. The shepherds, we never hear from them again. The elderly prophetess and the saintly man, they leave this earth shortly after Jesus' birth. And as far as the people who lived in that tiny little community where Jesus grew up, no one seemed to notice he was anything special. To them, he seemed like, just one of them. An ordinary soul, just one of the local carpenter's children, and eventually, a carpenter himself. The kind of person you might call on to repair a table or chair, hang a new door, or shelf in your kitchen, but not someone you'd call upon to uplift your life, to heal your sick, to teach God's truth. Not at all. I refer you to Matthew 13:55, Mark 6:3, or Luke 4:22, and all of those, the people that knew him growing up, they can't believe that people are rushing to hear this guy. They know his fame is spreading, but when he comes back to his hometown, they say, wait, this is the carpenter. What's the big deal? They almost act like they think he must be up to something. Why would people think, Jesus, the kid up the street, why would people think there was something special about him? In the whole, we think, 30 years or so between his birth and his baptism, we only have on record one incident, and it is recorded in only one of the four Gospels, that indicates there was anything unusual about Jesus at all the time he grew up, in all those many years. And that was that incident that we've talked about before that you probably had a picture of in your Sunday school class. It seemed like every Sunday school class, this is one of those ecumenical things. Every Sunday school of every denomination in Christianity has a picture of this event somewhere on the wall. The picture of Jesus at 12. Amazing, the learned men and the teachers in the temple in Jerusalem. That time he wandered off from his parents. But the interesting thing is his parents themselves were just as amazed to find him in the temple. Otherwise, why did they have to search high and low for 3 days before it even occurred to them to look for him there? When Jesus said, knew you not I'd be in my Father's house? No. No. No, they didn't know he'd be there at all. They seemed to be surprised. And as far as we know, that is the only incident, the only suggestion that there's anything unusual about this child. And consider it. The two people that finally find him in the temple are the two people who, according to Scripture, were most aware of there being something special about Jesus from birth. Mary and Joseph. But all four Gospels agree that Jesus the carpenter suddenly and dramatically became Jesus the Christos, the Christ, the Messiah, at the moment he was baptized. All of the Gospels really start there. Luke, Matthew, they give us the Christmas narrative. John does some theological musings about Jesus' association with the creative Word of God, but his story really starts in the Bible with baptism. It is a dramatic change. Now, of course, we would say that this was just Jesus realizing his destiny, that he always was the Christ, the Messiah, really and truly. But the point remains that until his baptism, he did not seem to show it. And perhaps, you know, just perhaps, even he himself didn't even really know it. He had this tremendous spiritual potential, there's no denying that. But that potential went untapped, unexpressed, maybe even unknown until then. And this is important to us because, according to Jesus, we have something in common with him here. According to Jesus, he wasn't alone in having an untapped spiritual potential, greater than we imagine. According to Jesus Christ, the light of God burns bright in each one of us, just waiting to be discovered and uncovered so it can shine to everyone in the world around us. So maybe we need to rethink what baptism is all about. maybe we need to aspire to a whole new understanding. Well, first of all, the old understanding, it never really did promise as delivered, if you think about it. Because while a lot of us were told to be baptized, or if we were raised Catholic, similar things were told to us about the confession. If we were baptized, our sins would be washed away, but that's not what they really meant, was it? Our sins weren't going to be washed away, just the consequences for our sins, the penalty. We'd still be sinners. We just wouldn't have to pay the price if we were baptized. Sort of like, the spiritual equivalent of a plea bargain. I find it amusing that a lot of us are outraged by plea bargains in our courts, and yet we think God Almighty, our just God, would do the same thing. Because that's really how it's been portrayed, hasn't it? What you do is, you confess your sin, you express your remorse, your repentance, and then they let you off with a reduced sentence. Actually, both the church and court kind of do the same thing. Some community service and you pay a fine. Do you think Jesus had anything to be ashamed of or to feel bad about? Was it a sin to spend 30 years working as a carpenter? Is that something someone should feel guilty about or remorse, be penitent over? And the thing about a plea bargain is, and the same thing goes for baptism and confession, you never get to be declared innocent, do you? If your sins were truly washed away, you would then become innocent. But when you enter a plea bargain, you have to admit your guilt, don't you? You have to admit, I did it, and I feel terrible about it. Even sometimes in our courts, if you don't really mean it. Do you think Jesus was guilty? You know, if Jesus had spent his whole lifetime and never aspired to be more than a carpenter, would that have been an evil thing or a bad thing? It would have been helpful. He would have repaired things and built things for all sorts of people. It wouldn't have been a terrible thing. It wouldn't have been anything for him to be ashamed of. There's even a hint that he kind of took pride in his work. A lot of people don't get that, but there's one point where he talks about yokes, which people would wear over their shoulders to carry heavy weights, maybe two buckets or something, two pails. When he said, "My yoke is easy, the burden is light," well, carpenters made yokes. And that's how one of the ways they would hawk their wares in the market. You want to buy one of my yokes, it is easy on your shoulders and it makes the burden seem light. So he's kind of comparing his carpentry to his new career in ministry. But if that's all he'd ever been, that wouldn't have been terrible, but it would have been a terrible waste. A terrible waste of his spiritual potential. Because, you know, say he worked for, if he's about 30 when he's baptized, which is a tradition, say he worked for 15 years as a carpenter, as an apprentice and then a master carpenter. As far as I know, we do not have a single shelf left that he hung, or cabinet that he made, or yoke that he carved. But what he did after his baptism is still changing the world today. So yes, it would have been a terrible waste, but not a terrible thing. My point is, Jesus didn't have to face the fact that what he was doing was bad. That's not what his baptism was about. But rather, it was the realization that he had in him to do something far better in every way. Far greater, so much greater, so much better that even today we can barely grasp it. He had it in him to do amazing things. And no matter how great a carpenter he was, I bet he was a better Christ. I think that was his real calling, don't you? But maybe we have a real calling too. Maybe our true baptism experience is not getting caught up in how bad we've done in the past, but to, in the presence, come to a realization of how much better we can be or do. You know, even if we have been such gross underachievers, have lived so far below our spiritual potential that we do have regrets, we even have some things we should at least attempt to make some amends for, I don't think our goal in life is to focus on how low we've sunk, but on how high we should aspire. I think baptism is about a realization that each one of us can come to, not just Jesus. That may not be as dramatic as Jesus' transformation, but as far as we're concerned, it will be as earth-shaking and life-changing for us and the people around us. The realization that whatever is holding us back, I am better than this. I am greater than this. I can be something more, and finally the decision, I will. I am, and because of what I am, I can, and because I can, I will. I think that's the real baptism. The realization that we're better than we've ever shown anyone. Greater than anything that's held us back. And we can do something about it, and the determination, I will. I think that's true baptism, and anything less isn't a baptism at all. It's just, well, going through the motions. And I believe, well, as I say, no one since has had quite the transformation of Jesus Christ. There are people right here in this room that have had transformations as dramatic in their own lives that made them seem to others, at least, like they were completely different people. There are people in this room that have been transformed from drunks to sobriety. Some of them it took years, some of them decades to come to that point. And you know what? They are not the same person in any outer sense that they were. Because maybe they are alcoholics, but they don't have to be drunks. And they're not. Now, they could only do this if they found a power in them greater than themselves. That's the only way. Others have overcome all kinds of addictions. Others, maybe the more dramatic ones, are ones that I've seen where people who were just negative and pessimistic and just unpleasant to be around became optimistic, positive, a pleasure to be around. So much so that it was like it was a different person. But they weren't becoming really a different person than they were. They were becoming the person they were born to be in the first place. Because whether we have achieved it or not, we were born to be free, not limited. Born like Jesus with powers and abilities beyond the human limitations we normally accept for ourselves. And while our own personal transformation may not be significant to others, to the people that know us best, love us most, to us ourselves, it's significant. We have changed. And you know what? I think maybe, in the simplest sense, that is what baptism is really about. The idea, the faith, and this is something hard for us to aspire to sometimes, that people can change, that you can change, that I can change. You know, that's hard to believe sometimes. The human in us wants to believe, if at first they don't succeed for me, I'll never trust them again. And we may say we forgive, but we don't mean it. If you say, I forgive you, but I'll never trust you again, hey, you haven't forgiven them. Not even close. No, baptism means we believe people can change. And that if they need to change, it's because they just have yet to discover and live up to their spiritual potential, to the person they really are. And we are going to give them our faith in at least that possibility, that they can make a difference in their lives, that they can discover that power in themselves, that that power can empower them, and that they can have, through the strength of will, the decision-making power to release it, to bring it into expression, to reveal the person that had been hidden in them their whole lives, the light that had been sheltered under the bushel. Does baptism change us? Maybe. Maybe what it really does is it shows who we are. But whoever we are now, it is as different from what we can be as Jesus the carpenter was from the Christ. Because according to him, we too are the children of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus, Scripture tells us. And while this baptism experience won't necessarily involve being immersed in a river or in a ritual in a church, I have found that a real baptism generally is accompanied by water. Only in the real baptisms, you bring your own. You carry your own water. When you go through that I am, I can, I will process, you usually start out with some considerable perspiration, and you end up awash in tears of joy. Let's pray about this. Now, to center ourselves for the true baptism, the descent of the Spirit of God upon us in prayer, let's know that God is real and God is really here. We are in the presence at this moment of the one presence and one power in the universe and at work in our lives. God the good, omnipotent. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God the good, omnipotent, and so it is.